Gary and Braden are friends with ideas. Terrible ideas. When the phone rings, it's a special kind of conversing. Here you are. You're invited to listen in. So please allay your fears. Lend us your ears. When you get that itch, the pitch.
Hello. Gary, but hello.
Gary? Is that you? It's Brayton.
Oh my God, Brayton. Hey.
Yeah, I'm glad this number worked. I got it from George Corbin.
Oh, God, that guy's ducking me. I haven't been getting a hold of him. I've been trying to get a hold of you, too.
Yeah, he pretty much split town right after he gave me the number.
Corbin.
Yeah.
He even told me, he said, Gary, I gotta tell you, don't trust me with your money. And I said, any port in a storm, Corbin. And I trust him with my money.
Yeah, any Corbin a storm.
Yeah, any Corbin a storm.
Didn't work out.
It didn't work out. How are we got sentenced at the same,
yeah.
I heard that you went to jail.
Yeah, I've been in prison, and you, I believe, were also in prison. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Obviously we got out way sooner than we should have based on our sentencing and the number of giant crimes. Have I told you about what happened?
I was going to call you to tell you about what happened to me, but you go first.
Okay.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, yeah, I know. It's good to hear you too, Gary. I got sentenced to prison, and I went there, and I was expecting the worst, but really it was kind of strange. Like, almost everyone there just kind of hangs out all day, and they practice their, like, Red from the Shawshank Redemption impersonations. Like, almost everybody's just trying to be Red all the time. And it's cool. I mean, Morgan Freeman's awesome in that movie, but, like, it was just really kind of bizarre. And then, like, every day they had us watch Ernest Goes to Jail. I don't know why, but then if we didn't watch that, we could watch Orange is the New Black, which I don't know if you've seen it, but the show is just boobs.
I was wondering where you got sentenced. So you got sentenced to St. Quentin, America's lightest prison? Better Red than Dead, right under the gate.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Where did you
get out there, buddy? I went to Southern Behendrendendrendahen and Supermax.
Ooh. I saw the TLC program about that while I was in jail.
Yeah, there's an episode coming out in a couple of weeks that part of me is in.
Wow. It's really bad. There's like a moat.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was really tough. It was a real new fish situation.
Yeah, so you didn't get to see Orange is the New Black?
I haven't been able to watch any Netflix originals while I've been in the can.
You really missed out.
I haven't seen that. Oh. I haven't seen House of Cards.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that to see if it infringes on our idea.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Derek, you haven't watched that yet either with Ricky Gervais? Okay. I won't spoil any of it for you, but I do want to go back to the Ernest thing because one of the things is the guards kept pointing out specifically the one scene in which Ernest makes a Tommy gun out of soap and like shoe polish and he breaks out of prison with it.
American
and they would always be like, this is the best part. Watch. I don't know why. It was real weird. But then I got this idea. I've got all this soap, because I don't know if you know this, at St. Quentin, they give you,
St. Quentin.
St. Quentin. That's what I said. They give you all of your soap for your entire stay right up front so that you never have to worry about it later.
Sure.
And it makes the room smell really nice. It's great. So anyway, I had all this soap, and I just started carving and carving and using my, like, you know, toothbrush and razor and my combs that I got and all those, like, packets of dried mackerel. And I came up with the Gene Teen Screen, which is a device that takes the blame for any problem that you have and puts it onto Gene Teenman.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is why we are business baited to be business partners. Tell me how it works, and then do I have an amazing coincidence for you?
Well, after you activate it, it basically connects to the internet, and it goes through all of your personal files and changes your name to Gene Teenman, and then goes through and changes your phone records, all that sort of stuff. So basically, right after that, I just, you know, brought it to the appeals court, and they were like, wow, we really effed up, and just let me out.
You got to hunt down that Teenman.
And they gave me half the soap.
Oh, so free soap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm picturing Mascot. I'm picturing Suds McKenzie, some kind of really clean dog.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very, it was a much different situation, but I'm sure that some of the evidence that got you off got me off as well.
Hopefully.
So, I was in Behind Supermax,
mm-hmm.
and there's a fellow there. I had this idea for, you know, I had to get out. Every day felt like a thousand years, and I didn't want to become institutionalized, and
sure.
I needed to get out. But there was one piece of the puzzle I needed. So there's this fellow named Crunch, and Crunch, I needed his pants. He had smuggled in a pair of designer Levi's,
mm-hmm.
and I needed his jeans for it. I had to trade him something. That is pretty important to me. But I invented the Gene Teen Gene Screens jeans.
What? How did those work?
Well, essentially, they're genes you hook up to the internet, and they go in and they change all of your records and files to be those of Gene Teenman.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, they've
really
got a USB SCSI.
We were on the same page there.
Yeah. They took my pinky.
Wow.
Crunch took my pinky. There's a part in the upcoming TLC show where he's showing it off. He wears it like a necklace.
That's really,
he uses it to pick his other nails.
Did he like lacquer it in the wood shop at least or something?
Part of the agreement was that I can't check in on the status of it.
That's terrifying, Gary. I'm very sorry.
It still hurts. I managed, the prison doctors there managed to cauterize the wound, but just barely.
Yeah.
This is my business pinky as well. So
it's just one more tip you're not going to ever put in a bugue.
I know. So now, in order to get an even number of bugues, I need to do 110 servings? I don't know exactly how the math works out when you're eating 9/10 of a serving of bugues.
Yeah, yeah.
In order to, and bugues come in sets of 10, but
yeah. You're going to have to do 110, that's right.
Yeah, nine servings of bugues. I need to buy 9 boxes of bugues to get 10 servings of bugues.
Yeah.
So, and I'm always a little bit hungry after I fing them.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like I can use the verb fing anymore.
Maybe not. But Gary, to kind of move on to something a little bit.
It keeps me up at night what he's jamming on with my pinky.
I can understand that, but let's move on a little bit, Gary,
strips?
And maybe do something a little bit nicer. So, Gary, I was when I was in prison, you know, we had secure Wi-Fi for each of our cells, so we could use our mobile devices. But I mean, like I, you know, they confiscated mine, and I had to make another one out of soap. But I did, and I invented something called Jailbird, and it's a Twitter application that allows you to tweet from prison, but unfortunately, due to the fact that it's made out of soap and there's limited space, I could only fit 138 characters.
Well, yeah, I could see that being really useful. You know, prisoners are a valuable resource to crowdsource, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd be interested in hearing, you know, most of their thoughts. I think this device would probably take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, I used Jailbird to learn, like, 3 different languages while helping out BuzzFeed.
Oh, very good. Yeah, and that, you know, it's good for BuzzFeed. If it's good for BuzzFeed, it must be good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, what I know you, Gary, even in your darkest hour, you must have had some other sparks of innovation. What else did you do?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I had to keep my mind on some things during some times when I was there. I really needed to go, you know, get away from the present. And one of the things I did when I was there, I guess I walked in on a situation. Crunch, Crub, Scorch, and Worm had just gotten into a fight with one of the new fish and beat him up real bad.
These are all white supremacists, right? Because they all sound like white supremacist names to me.
Well, they're white supremacists and they are former American gladiators. Because everyone knows Behendrendendrendehennen is where they shot that show. And after that show closed down, a lot of these, you know, steroided freaks had nowhere to turn but to murder.
That makes sense.
So they beat up on this new fish, and really, I mean, his face looks like a pile of collapsed grapes. And we had the guard came in, and they've got this cronyism with the guard, so they blamed it on me.
Mm-hmm.
So after a pretty sound beating, I spent my first 6 weeks in solitary confinement. And when I was there, I had to think back on all of my life and innovations, and you know, was a good idea to leave Shaquila? Was a good idea to marry Shaquila? What's Josh Groban's newest album going to sound like? And I had the idea for a brand new innovation when it comes to solitary confinement.
Okay.
So what's the problem with solitary confinement?
There's nothing to do.
Absolutely. And you come out of it worse than when you entered it.
Yeah.
So that's why I give you solitary refinement.
Oh, I see what you, I think I see where you're going. Keep going.
So you're locked in a cell and there is nothing but makeup, haircut supplies, self-dentistry kits, teeth bleaching devices, modified throatoscopes with voice deepening technology, razors, hair dye, and you come out, and also a copy of Miss Manners' 1,000 Forks, a guide to dining success. And out of it, you know what to do with every fork. Maybe you went in for stabbing somebody. Now you know that this is the fork for turtle soup, and this other fork over here is the fork for bugles.
Wow. Wow, okay. So
because did you know you're not supposed to fing a bugle?
That can't be right.
You're supposed to think of the tines of a fork as 4 little fings, and you're supposed to bugle all those tines and then eat them in 2.5 forkfuls.
Huh. I don't know. I think I'm still going to fing my bugles.
It's okay. That's the American way to do it. But in solitary refinement, you learn how to be a proper gentleman. It's a real Pygmalion kind of situation.
That's
worth a Pygmalion bucks. Solitary refinement.
It sounds like it would really help out a lot of people. That, I mean, it's a great idea, Gary.
Yeah, these American gladiators aren't going to refine themselves.
You know, Gary, I'm thinking when I was in prison, they kind of, you know, we had kind of a loose arts and crafts sort of thing. We didn't have like a wood shop per se, but like, you know, we could hire migrant workers to do things for us, like on the outside. Like if we needed a set built for a stage performance of Othello or something like that, like we could hire them to do that using our our jail bucks that we were given.
Sure.
And one of the things that I did while I was there is that I thought, like, the place kind of needed to be livened up a little bit. You know, and I just recently, I got into kind of home decorating while I was in jail because who knows what else to do in interior decorating. I thought this place could use a bar. So I made something called the Bar Bar. Now that I'm thinking about it, it would be good for the outside, too. But the Bar Bar was just basically a bar inside of prison. But, like, outside of prison, the Bar Bar, and it's called that because of, you know, the jail cell bars, outside, it could be a place that someone who used to be on the inside could go to feel like they're home again. You know, there's someone there always staring at you suspiciously. You can't do anything without asking permission first. You know, you always have to watch your back, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. I mean, not experiences that I had, but from what I understand.
Experiences that I had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to end up like, you know, speaking of Shawshank, you don't want to end up like Brooks. If Brooks had been able to go to the bar, he wouldn't have hung himself. And created a real mess for whoever owned that halfway house.
Right, and that never cleaned it up.
Yeah, exactly. He never cleaned it up. Red never cleaned it up. And think about poor Red. You know, you've been impersonating him for weeks now. He had mm-hmm. to live in that suicide house full of ghosts, old man Brooks' ghosts, throwing haunted birds at him, summoning crows left and right.
Yeah.
You know, his nightmares are probably avian nightscapes.
You're absolutely right. And luckily, with the bar, we're going to give a place for prisoners to go back to what they know. Because they get out into the world, and you've seen that scene where Brooks gets out, and he's scared of cars, and he doesn't understand anything, and, like, the world just moved too fast for him.
For somebody like you, you might go to a bar, and you'd live in a world where gravity hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure when you saw that trailer, you were just like, whoa!
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was a strange world of the future.
We got a 3D copy of it at the prison, and like we got to watch it on the big IMAX. It was really impressive. Like, if you haven't seen it, it's totally awesome.
Yeah. No, I haven't been able to see it yet. Scorch did something to my inner ear, and now if I see a movie in IMAX, I get immediately vertigoed.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I'm having a real hard time with three-dimensional space. I'm actually wearing horse blinders right now from the horse course. They shipped me a bunch of hooves and blinders.
Wow.
From when they closed it down.
Okay, well, maybe do you have another idea, maybe, then?
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, for our modern prisoners is that there is constantly chaotic riots. You know, you go to eat, and you just want to eat your... You know, your rotten government cheese, and and somebody, you know, some American gladiator looks at somebody who is on Canadian Gladiators the wrong way, and the Canadian gladiator Mountie, he stands up and just, you know, yells like Attica, and you know, he learned that reference somehow, and everybody just starts fighting, and it's a daily fear for your life kind of situation like you might find on a modern Fallujah. Or any, you know, war-torn part of the country, and you just need to get out. However, you are you've been studying business your whole life. You're not very tough, you need some way to take care of people who are standing your way. They're big, tough, you know, American and Mexican gladiators between you and the exit. That's why I want to invent Flinky Shanks.
Go on.
So Flinky Shanks attached to a alchemical brace that you attach to your torso that give you two little razor blade flanky shanks on your sides. So you can kind of put your arms up and go, excuse me, while simultaneously shanking anybody you walk by.
Oh, okay. This is both defensive and offensive.
Yeah, it gets you out of a bad situation by putting other people in a bad situation.
Wow. Yeah.
Because where you're going, no one is innocent. Flanky shanks.
Okay, yeah. I like the idea for that situation. I mean, nobody in our prison got hurt. It was one time when a guy fell off the zip line and he sprained his ankle. Mm. That was it.
Yeah, did he get to go home?
No, he had to go to the nurse, but the nurse is really cute, so it worked out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had a copy of Grey's Anatomy from 1986. Attached to a podium with rope as our nurse.
They made that show back in 1986?
The book that the show is based on. Not a lot of people know this, but all the plots from that TV show are actually reenactments from the book.
Oh, I had no idea.
So, Yeah, that's the book about the anatomy. And then scrawled in kind of lemonade stand-esque blood letters, it just says, figure it out yourself, and you know, yourself is spelled wrong.
Wow. Gary,
I did a lot of exploratory surgery on my inner ear to try to undo Scorch's damage.
Jesus, Gary, this sounds terrible.
It was really rough. It was really rough. There have been a lot of updates to ears since 1986, and they weren't in the book.
Yeah, okay. Gary, look, I got to go meet up with my my parole officer. He's taking me out to brunch. So I will talk to you later. All right, buddy? You going to hang in there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have to rebuild, right?
Yeah, and I mean, think this, if this we release a couple of these items, we might get our start.
I have one more item for you.
Okay.
All right? So one of the things that a lot of these American gladiators who went into the can were raging alcoholics. And when you're in prison, I don't know if you had a similar situation, but these guys were desperate to create any kind of alcohol you could find. So any food, you know, rotten government cheese, my pinky, anything they could find that they could ferment, they would do it and create Pruno, which is a prison wine.
Sure.
Made of ketchup and everything. It smells awful and it tastes awful, but you can drink it until you can no longer feel. And however, some of the prisoners I met were Pruno intolerant. So, you know, they would instead just kind of huff my pinky or whatever was around until they got really high. And
sure.
And then, you know, they would be able to participate too. But if you're Pruno intolerant, I want you still to be able to participate in the good time fun. So maybe you fall asleep before the guards go home for the day and unlock all the cells.
Right.
Which happens nightly. So that's why I want to invent Pruno, which is a Pruneau. It's a faux Pruno.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So it's a faux substitute Pruno. You know, made of gluten-free, you know, various, like, bloods and juices that have no gluten in them. And, you know, maybe you won't be intolerant to them. And the secret ingredient is Everclear.
Okay, that's good. I think this would be great to serve also in the bar for people who want to have that Pruno experience without... you know, rotting their insides completely.
Yeah. They don't want to vomit immediately. They want to get drunk and vomit. You know, you don't want to vomit at first taste. So you get this Pruno, you fall asleep, you know, and you don't check every cell, you know, for various victims and, you know, chubby white guys.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think it's great. I think it's really good, and I'm really happy that the gene teen gene screens worked for you.
Genes.
Yes, the genes. The gene teen screen worked for me. And then,
yeah.
I mean, we've got a couple good ideas here, and I think it's a start, right?
I mean, I don't know if you've checked into Felderson Lawyerstein, our accountant, but we're broke. Legal fees took it all. We had to start from the bottom up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but we've done it before.
Yeah.
You know, you're a young man. My kids will talk to me again someday, and I think we can rebuild.
I think you're right, Gary. I'm on board if you're on board.
I'm fist pumping in what I think might be the general direction of the phone.
Okay. Good.
But I just think imagine like 4/5 of a fist pumping.
Okay. I will. We're gonna get you another finger.
I hope so.
We're going to make this right, Gary.
Brayden, I have a confession to make.
Go on.
When I was talking about solitary refinement and how you're supposed to fing bugs with four tines of a fork,
mm-hmm.
I was lying. I've been so used to finging four bugs that I wanted you to think it was normal.
Wow. Okay. We're gonna get through this, Gary. Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna get through this. We're gonna have I'm going to get you a finger made out of bugles so that you can bug with your bugles.
Could it be like one of those pencils where the lead is those like little individual sets of lead that you pull from the back and front and put in the back?
With
except
the
bugles
things.
And as a finger? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like that, but then you can just add more bugles to it.
Oh, thank you, Brayden.
We're going to take care of this, Gary, okay? Take care
thank
of
you.
You have a good day. I gotta get going. Like I said, gotta meet my parole officer for brunch.
Thank you. I've got a stare.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye. It's a good high energy to come back to.
Yeah, my sad pitch. if we can touch one heart with the pitch, let's do it.
We shouldn't have been. We're doing it wrong. Someone's getting touched.